with our attitude and our psychology being purely status quo. I know. Are you ready to admit that you know? Are you ready to admit that you know all that has to be known? Advanced psychology and stem cell utilization is living now. All of your life, all of our life, all of eternity, stem cells have flushed into the business around the brain and in the brain 10,000 of them every single day, plus probably lots more we haven't counted yet. And these stem cells are coming in as a gentle, gentle, gentle reminder to us of who we are. It's up to us to take these stem cells and direct them, guide them, show them what it is we want them to do. You say, well, Herb, you're repeating a lot of things you've said before. That's true. Now, are you ready to guide your stem cells in the direction you want to go?
Yes.
Are you a practitioner? Everybody a practitioner? A lot of you don't think that you are. But you're a practitioner. You are a practitioner in looking at whatever it is you want to work on and then working on it. Now, how many of you would like to work on wholeness, perfection, peace, love, harmony, joy, and right action? Okay, all of us. Just what?
We don't work on conditions. We work on perfection.
And that's true. That's true. And it says we don't work on conditions, we work on perfection. And we don't work on perfection either, do we? We merely recognize it and reveal it and let it come forth in its awareness for us. And it's a very wonderful thing. Now, that is very good. John, do you have a computer here? Or a printer? I'm sorry?
Not a laptop, a desktop.
No, I don't need that. Because you could make a printout here of this for me. Because it just said goodbye. Isn't that nice? But maybe it'll come back. Yes, there it is. It came back. It just says I wasn't pressing the keys. Okay, here we are. A practitioner is one who looks at any experience and expects it to be so. And a practitioner is looking at all of the experiences in life as illusions. And a practitioner looks at the illusion of the broken leg and says, there's a broken leg there. Now, is that what a practitioner does? And the answer is no, right? The practitioner first purifies themselves. First gets their own consciousness so pure that the practitioner only sees the ideal self, the ideal reality, the original purity and integrity of any circumstance. When you go to the hospital and you see someone in the hospital, you don't deal with them because they're there for cancer. You deal with them because they're there and they want to realize their original purity and integrity. The doctors have dealt with them on the cancer. That's all done. Now, what are you going to deal with them? Are you a practitioner? Are you a metaphysical practitioner? Or are you a practitioner who just goes along with the illusions? Now, living now, we live in our original purity and integrity. Now, are you ready to live in your original purity and integrity? If you are, then your eyes will be so pure, so beautiful, so magnificent, you will only see the truth. You will only see the wholeness that's within any being. Only the wholeness. Are you ready to see only the wholeness? And the answer is no. You are not ready to see the purity, the perfection, and the wholeness, because when you come up for a healing treatment, you have to tell what the problem was. And you don't do that. You tell what it is that you would like to experience, that you would like to be aware of. You say, I want to have another broken leg. You don't say that, do you? You say, I am whole and perfect. You say, I have a relaxed, peaceful mind. I used to have migraines, you know, but you don't say that. You say, I have a relaxed and peaceful mind. I am in balance. I am harmony. I am peace. But if for one moment we allow ourselves to digress and go off into the illusion, as you were describing your arm held in a sling, and whatever caused it to be in the sling didn't really matter, but it was in the sling and it was not doing right. Now, that's not what you wanted. You came to the meetings here, and you came into the information that, hey, you're whole and perfect. And immediately you slid your arm out of your sling, and you're whole and perfect, and you're wonderful. And you kept being wonderful. But the moment you allowed yourself to go back into the sling consciousness, then there you were, back into the remembrance of the illusion. And the illusion's not yours anymore. The illusion's not yours anymore, right? But the thing is, you let yourself slide back into that illusion. And we live in perfection. Now, Carol was telling me today that the Jamaicans are very tough people to deal with. They're very hard-nosed. They already know what they want to do and how they want to do it, and they're going to do it that way. Super! Super! If what she says is true, and if what she says is what you do, then all of you are whole and perfect right now. All of you have everything that you could ever speak your word for right now. And that's living now. That's living now. Now, the comment was made during the healing meeting that we have to be patient. And I disagree, unfortunately. We don't have to be patient. Now is the acceptable time, and now the stem cells are doing their work, and now it is done. If we have the ability to see beyond the illusion, to see the perfection, to see the truth, then the truth is ours. But if we can't see beyond the perfection into the truth, if we can't see beyond into the perfection, into the reality, into the allness, then what do? We remain in the illusion. Now, the illusions are very real, and people believe in them. They're very real, but they're really not real. Now, my stem cells are undifferentiated, the ideal ready to be used. The ideal ready to be used. We have heard one lady saying that stem cells were working for her because she put them into motion. But as you listen to the movie The Secret, you heard them say that this was held back from people. People were not allowed to know the secret. The secret was so unusual and so spectacular. Now, how many of you who have seen The Secret can tell me what The Secret is? And I say probably none of you, because you didn't get what The Secret was. The secret was that whatever you put in your consciousness, whatever cause you put into motion for yourself, you get the response from. Now, they said the law of attraction. Well, I disagree with that. I say there is no law of attraction, because you can't attract anything to you unless it already exists. And if it already exists, all you do is reveal it to you that it already exists. In you, each one of you, is perfection right now. In each one of you is wholeness. In each one of you is the allness. In each one of you is abundance. One mother was taking care of her five children. And the children were going through all sorts of diseases and all sorts of maladies that were disturbing them very badly. And the mother was taking care of them. And the neighbor came over and said, "Molly, how can you do that?" "What do you mean? How can you take care of all these sick kids and sick people and never get sick yourself?" And Molly gave the answer that we should all give. "I didn't have time to fool around with being sick. I didn't have time to fool around with being sick." You see, this is what we do. We fool around with being sick because we enjoy having people feel sorry for us. When's the last time you received a bouquet of flowers for no reason at all? Go to the hospital, they'll send you flowers. And then they hang on to the flowers so they can use them for the funeral. You know. But this is what people do. And I'm not as facetious and humorous as it sounds, because that's what they do. The doctors will listen to your heart. The doctor goes to you and says, "What is the matter with you?" Because he may look at you and see something that he can diagnose. But he says, "What is the matter with you?" And you have to tell him what's the matter with you. Now, what do you think the doctor would say if you went to him and said, "Doc, I'm whole and perfect"? He would say, "Well, what in the world are you here for? Why have you come to see me?" "Well, because there are moments I don't feel this way and I want to stay this way all the time." "Oh, I see." And then he says, "Well, what do you feel in the moments that you don't feel whole and perfect?" And then you rattle them off your symptoms and you rattle them off your details of how you're unhappy about something or other. But you see, the woman didn't have time to fool around with being sick. She had her children to take care of. Now, you and I, we should not have time to fool around with being sick, being limited, wanting things in our life. You see, the more we realize that we have a cornucopia of all good flowing into our life, right through our brain, all these wonderful, white, beautiful stem cells, just pristine and clear. I like to call them little bubbles, because as they bubble over and they just sort of ooze over my brain and do beautiful things, and they are wonderful. Do you have a cornucopia of white stem cells in your brain? No, that's mine. That's mine alone, just for me. That's silly, isn't it? We all have it. We all have that cornucopia. But why is it you go up to your minister here or your other ministers in your church? You've got a lot of fine ministers in this church. And you say to them, "What should I do?" And they say, "Think good thoughts." Yeah, it's easy for you to say think good thoughts because your body is whole and perfect, because your life is just filled with good things, and because everything's going right for you, John. You know, it's easy for you to say that, but you want me to say it, and that's not right. And then they come to Elma, they say, "Well, you're the princess of all this sort of thing." And, you know, it's easy for you to say, I'm a fantastic woman, and I'm beautiful, and I'm a gorgeous dancer, and I'm wonderful, and I love to eat, and I love to play, and I love to do wonderful things all day." Yeah, but that's what you're special. Sure, she's special. Sure, John's special. Sure, Carol and the rest of you are all special, Sonia, what have you. And you're all special, but why? What do you do, John? I will bet that was unfair. What do these ministers do that makes them special so that they can work with other people? They practice. They practice what they preach. They practice what they teach. And they practice it, and they practice it, and they practice it, and they practice it until you're sick and tired of hearing it. But look at their life. Would you like a life like theirs? Would you like a life filled with harmony and peace and love? And would you like to be driving around in their beautiful cars, you know? Yeah? Have you ever seen a woman who had more chauffeurs than the Reverend Dr. Lawson? Hmm? And all she does is just snap her finger and say, "You know, I think I'm going to go to town." And everybody says, "Can I drive you? Can I drive you?" And then when she's in town, she said, "Now, you know, you got to leave me off on each corner here so that all the members of the congregation can have a turn in driving me." Everybody wants to have. But you see, that's consciousness. That's belief. Now, you're laughing, but it's true. It's true. Every single person in this church has a high respect for your founder. Every single person in this church loves this person with all their heart and soul and being, and would die for them if necessary. Of course, it'll never be necessary because she's just going to live on. But the thing is, they love her. Now, why? Because she loves herself. Have you ever met a more imposing person than Reverend John over here who loves himself? Have you seen him stand up here singing?
He gets over here to the side of the choir so that he can be seen. Properly,
yeah. He doesn't want to stand behind all those beautiful girls. He wants to get out there so that he can be seen by his beloved friends, whom you are. And you see, this is pretty exciting. This is pretty exciting. Are you ready for something like that? Are you ready for something like that? If you are, it means you practice, 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 practice. One little boy, he came home and he says, "Mom, I smell a horse. Am I going to get a new horse? Am I going to get a horse?" And his mother says, "Not that I know." And he went in the backyard and he saw a bale of hay out in the backyard. And he says, "I'm going to get a horse." And so then he went into the garage and he took the broom and cleaned it out in case that was where the horse was going to be kept, you know. And so his father came home and he said, "Dad, I just swept the garage and I saw a bale of hay back there and it's for my horse." Now, the father probably had the bale of hay to be spread over the lawn and spread over the flower plants in preparation for winter. But this little boy saw a horse. And he said, "Oh, wonderful, I've got a horse." Now, he didn't say anything more than that. His mom and dad, they heard it just once. And then, in his heart and in his room, he planned on having a horse. Well, it wasn't long and he had a horse. He had a horse. And it was in his backyard. And it was there for real. Now, that's a real story. And it's a true story. But the thing, that is looking beyond the appearances. Anyone in the neighborhood would say, "You kid, you don't even know how to ride a horse. Why should you get a horse? You know, and were you going to keep it in a city lot where it's not approved by the county to have a horse in the lot?" And he got the horse. He had it on the city lot. Nobody objected at all. The county trucks drove by from time to time and they never saw the horse there. Nobody reported the horse. Nobody. It was his horse. It was his life. It was his fulfillment. He saw that horse in his heart, in his mind, and that's all he saw. He did not see the limitation. And that's what we do. Okay. I enjoy an awareness of my stem cells as my original purity and integrity. You were born with, you were a stem cell to start out with, you know, weren't you? You were a stem cell. And what happens as a stem cell? I was going to have a television show yesterday, and I went to this place, and we picked up bodies here and bodies there, cameramen and cameras and electrical fixtures and people. And I sat in front with the driver, who was a cameraman. And the cameraman said to me, he says, "You know, I heard a little about you, and I heard that you talk about positive thinking and positive healing and so forth." And he said, "I want to ask you a question." And I said, "Well, what is that?" He said, "Well, I have been advised, because my child has X disease, and I don't name them, that I should have her have the placenta cord of the child kept in wherever." And they sent it to this hospital, and they sent it to this freezing center, you know, where it went. And that if my daughter doesn't get over this disease in its proper way, we will have those stem cells to rejuvenate her body back to its original experience. And I thought to myself, just think of the things that are going on you and I don't even know about that are using stem cells. And they're using them very fine and very beautiful. And it's up to us now to start using them ourselves. Now, I have said to you in the past days, say to your stem cells, who are a garrison of 10,000, and they're waiting for instructions of what to do, say, come on, you guys, heal me. Come on, you guys, do this. Come on, you guys, do that. No, 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 no. The stem cells respond to our attitude. And what is my attitude about myself? My attitude about myself is I am whole and perfect. My attitude about myself is I like me. My attitude about myself is every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect. My attitude about myself is I am independently wealthy. My attitude about myself is I'm surrounded by beautiful people. Now, you see, those attitudes that I have tell my stem cells what my attitude is about myself. They tell my stem cells what sort of a world I'm living in. Not a world of terror, not a world of illness, not a world of imperfection, but it tells these stem cells who and what I am. Now, how can I blatantly say that when I might have an illusion that doesn't look like that? How can I do that? How can I speak my word and say it? Now, in your prayer treatment today, in your healing treatment, you still are using your old book, and the book says that, oh, Mother, Father, God, oh, God outside of me, oh, God, help me, oh, God, heal me, and that's lovely. That's lovely. But the thing is, that's only in first gear. That's only in first gear. You want to get out of first gear and get going with this sort of thing. Now, it is true, Mother, Father, God. It is true, oh God. It is true. All those things are there. But I like to believe that Jesus the Christ was not a fool. But we treat him like a fool. I like to believe that he was not a fool. Because he said, seek ye here or there. Look low here or there. But the kingdom of God is within every man. Luke 17:22. Look here or there, but the kingdom of God is within every man, and God is within. Go to your Father within. Now, it's okay. God is everywhere. We don't ever mean to say that God is not everywhere. But if you have somebody close at home that can help you to learn to tie your shoes, you're going to ask your uncle at home or your father or mother or whoever to help you tie your shoes. You're not going to go to your teacher at school and say, help me tie my shoes. Because then you stumble all the way to school on your shoelaces. But we have within us the divine. We have within us God. In fact, we are God. And as God, we have the ability to be anything. Now, we say we are not God when we say, oh God, help me. We are not God when we say, I wish God were doing this or that. Now you say, Herb, how can you say that? That's quite easy. It's quite easy to say that, because the thing is, we continually turn away from our own individual responsibility of being who we are. We turn away from the responsibility. One person said to me the other day, how come you say, I like me, and not I love me? And I say, well, truthfully, we love everything. We love all. We love all the world. We love all creation. But do we like every person in creation? Do you like that neighbor? Do you like that husband or wife who's not been kind to you? Do you like those children who are acting up? Do you like the dog that wants to bite? You see, you can love everything, but to like it is another rule. Now, when we train ourselves to say, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, then we like everything. When we say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, then our vision sees everyone whole and perfect. That's the practitioner in us. Because if we're working with anybody, they come to us with all their tragedies, and then they say, can you help me? And I say, nope. They say, why? You're a practitioner, you can't help me? Nope. You can help yourself. I can only show you the way. I mean, the Master Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the light. He only showed the way. He didn't get out there and do it for you. Well, he raised Lazarus from the dead. No. He gave an illustration that life is immortal. And he waited for 3 days while his friend Lazarus was reported dead. And then he went to see Lazarus. And he said to Mary, he said, your brother only sleeps. Jesus, you are certainly not paying attention. He's dead. He smells. Your brother only sleeps. And then he went and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. Now, you see, what a consciousness. My goodness. To look beyond all those appearances and bring forth the truth and the wholeness of the Christ. Bring forth the truth and the wholeness of life in Lazarus. And he did it in others. And you do. You do too. How many of you have seen Camelot? And yes. And then he said, live, 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 live. You could do it too. You wouldn't have to be so dramatic. But you could do it too. Because nobody needs to die. We let people die because it's a convenience to have them out of the way. We don't have to bother with them any longer. No, really. How many elderly people are in rest homes and you say, it'd be so nice if they could just slip away. It'd be so nice if they could just slip away. What an ugly thing to say. It would be so nice if they would just recognize that they're whole and perfect and get up out of that bed and dance and sing and be happy and live in a whole body. But we look at the illusion that they have, and then we say that that is the truth about them. That's their perfection. And more, that's not their perfection, my goodness sakes. The original purity and integrity is our perfection. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to call forth? What are you going to experience in your life? How are you going to use your stem cells to accomplish any goal you have for yourself? I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I walk my meditation path for 3 miles up in the mountains in Southern California every morning. Once, two, three, four times. It depends. It just takes a lot of time. I have other things to do. But I love doing it. And I'm walking on. I am whole and perfect. 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 I like me. 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 And I put these things. Now, what do you think my stem cells are doing? They say, I like to be in this fun-filled guy. I like to be in this guy who is having such a nice time, who has such a nice body. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I like that. Do you like it? Do you like it? Is your body... You each have glorious bodies. Beautiful, toxicrian bodies, Adonis and all that other good stuff. You are gorgeous people, all of you. But, do you like yourself? Do you go around saying, I like me, I like me, I like me? Then you know what's going to happen to you? You know what's going to happen to you? Nobody is going to see you anymore. Nobody is going to see your gorgeous body. What they're going to see is your charisma, your vibrations, your love. That's your reality. And when you live in the state of wonderful vibrations and wonderful peace and wonderful love, you're living in your reality. You're living in your truth. You're living in your perfection. Now, you say, what is perfection? Well, it's easy. I'm whole and perfect. 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 I am whole and perfect. And, you know, when people are with me on the ranch and they see me walking around and doing that, they think to themselves, okay, you know. And sometimes they join me, but mostly they don't. I had one young lady came to the ranch and She had a terminal illness, and she was supposed to die in a couple of weeks. And I told her, you don't think a thing about the illness. You just say, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. And say it again and again and again. Every single moment. Don't talk to anybody at the ranch. Walk the meditation paths. Eat your meals. Come in. Swim in our swim pools. Do all the nice things that are there to be done. But don't talk to anybody. And she stayed for 30 days. Now, it's not the ranch that did it. It's me kicking her in the tail, reminding her. But it's not the ranch. She put the cause in motion. And she started saying, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. I like me, I'm divine order, peace. And the stem cells in her just flooded over her whole body and washed away all the illusion. Her father-in-law was a medical doctor, and he saw the illness. And, of course, her doctor saw the illness before she left. And when she came back home, they looked and they found nothing. They found nothing. She was absolutely free of any experience. But you see, all of a sudden, she started not liking herself again. She didn't get her way with her husband. She announced to her husband, I am on my spiritual path. I am on my spiritual path. And I don't want to have sex with you anymore, Mr. Husband, you know. And he says, well, that's okay if I can be free to go out and have other relationships. And she says, of course. She didn't mean it. You know, she wanted him to, you know, be without. And she didn't mean it. And so then he found a lady friend. And this ground her into pieces. And then her daughters, lovely girls, beautiful girls, just fabulous girls, her daughters, who doted on her and had been through her illness before, were not interested in her being sick again, which game she played. And so they stayed away from home as much as possible at school and school activities because they didn't want to be around this lady who was sick again. And so then, what did she do? She died. She died. Now, how utterly, utterly wasteful and foolish. And I told her, I said, you're not going to make them unhappy when you go. They'll be so happy when you go because they won't have to worry about you anymore. They like to have a healthy and happy mother, a healthy and happy wife. And hey, if you go bluntly saying to your husband, I'm going to break our marriage vows and not have sex with you anymore, I mean, that's a kick in the head. That's not the proper thing to do. And I told her that's not the proper thing to do. What do you expect him to do? If you would pay attention, I told her, you'll know exactly what he's going to do the minute you're gone. He will have a harmonious relationship, perfectly legal, any way he likes it, you know. And he's not going to feel sorry that you're gone, because now he doesn't have to feel guilty doing something, and so forth. You see, we put causes in motion, and we can say, I like me. She absolutely released the illness, absolutely. And then I told her, let it go, let it go. Don't go bringing it back again. And she brought it back again. Now, why do we do that? You have the freedom to do that. And she saw her perfection. She saw her perfection. She was working on the ranch. One of her tasks was to go making stones along the edge of the path that she was creating on a meditation path. And she was picking up these stones and putting them down, picking them up, putting them down. She is a healthy bearer, you know. Brown as can be, just enjoying herself. And when she went home, she was just dancing. But when she got home, she came back into the same old environment, the same old attitude, the same old conditions that gave her that instability that caused her to want to be ill, to hurt herself and to hurt others. Now, we do this a lot. We do this a lot. And it's a shame when we do this because it's not really something valuable to do. Now, think about it. My stem cells come ready to go and be themselves and have fun from the get-go. My stem cells come ready to go and be themselves and have fun right from the time that they first come forth in our being. Now, you will hear a great deal about stem cells as the months go by, and you'll hear from many of your congregation about the experiences they have with the stem cells too, because they used to call it the law of cause and effect. And you see, it's not that we're going to attract something to us. That's a nice dream. But you're not going to attract something to you, because you are that. You reveal that. You don't even create anything. We always used to say you create something. You reveal it. It already exists. There is nothing in this universe, in this world, in any area that we can think of that exists. It already exists. Everything that we will ever know or ever be or ever have already exists. And it'll exist again and again and again as the earth changes its activities within itself. It'll always exist. The cities will be born out of the earthquakes and out of the volcanoes and out of other disaster areas. And the cities don't think of it as a disaster area. They just think of it as being born again. Port Royal, you know, you had set little tay-tay with floods and with earthquakes and things like that. And what was it all about? Was it God saying to, who was it? When he walked out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said to his wife, "Don't look back." He looked back, and what had happened? His wife turned into a pillar of salt. Now, it's a symbol. You see, every time we turn back in our consciousness after we know the truth, it is all the more difficult for us to go forward again, because we are riding over what we had built. If we say to ourselves, "I like me, I like me, I like me," wonderful things happen. Fantastic things happen. But if we don't carry it out, then we get to the point, and some of you ministers are that way a little bit right now. I've seen this in every church. You get to the point where you feel, "I can do it, and it's falling off a log, you know. I can give this treatment, I can give this prayer, I can give this talk, I can give this sermon, because, I mean, I've done it so many times before, it's so easy to do." And that's like you go to your job, you know, and you work on your job. You sit at your typewriter or computer or whatever, and you do the things that it called for, and it's like falling off a log. But if you go to your job dynamically interested in what you're doing, the most simple little things that you're doing, the most important things that you're doing. If the minister gets up and gives a talk and says, "This is my golden hour. This is my greatest expression to bring across to the people the love that I have for them and the love that I know that they are and the magic that I'm going to bring out of them as they see that for themselves, because I see it now. I see you perfect. I see you wonderful. I see..." Whoo, my goodness, what wonderful ministers those people are, right? And do they, you know what they're oftentimes called, unfortunately, evangelists, you know. But the evangelists are doing things for a different reason. Unfortunately, the evangelists are not here to take you to God. The evangelists are to take you away from God. They want to take your wallet, but they don't want to take you to God. Because if you find God, you won't need the evangelist. Once you find who you are, you won't need anybody to show you the way. You will have found it. Once you know how to play the piano, you don't go back to your first grade piano teacher anymore, remember? Once you learn how to drive the car, you don't go back to the driving school and say, "I need a refresher course." If you do, you weren't paying attention the first time, you know. But the big thing is, we live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body. We have these stem cells flooding into our being. And now, we will talk about why the stem cells are sometimes not as effective as we'd like them. Well, I draw a picture of my brain and see it ooze with stem cells to obliterate the present cells and flood them with new perspectives. I'll read that twice. I draw a picture of my brain and see it ooze with stem cells to obliterate the present cells and flood them with new perspectives. You might call them attitudes. You have attitudes. Your cells in your brain, your eyes, you know, your eyes are getting old or they're getting young. Little children oftentimes need glasses, and sometimes they need hearing aids, and sometimes they need whatever. And you see, these are cells that have been differentiated. They've been divided into the fact that you have that need. Now, the new cells come in and they don't know what that need is. They don't know why that need is there. And they're saying, why is that need there? You know, they don't say it's bad. They just say, why is it there? And then they go into the game and play with those other cells, and they play with the hearing loss, they play with the eye loss, they play with all the other things that happen, you know. Now, when you start saying, I have a perfect eyesight, I have perfect hearing, I have a perfect throat, I have a perfect eyes, ears, nose, and throat, and I have a perfect body, every organ, action, function of my body is perfect. And you keep saying that, and you keep saying that, and you keep saying that. Pretty soon, your body is going to believe it, regardless of what other appearance might be. I told you the story of Demosthenes, remember? And Demosthenes, if I didn't, I will. Demosthenes was one of the early Roman persons, and he had a lisp. He couldn't speak, he was just a lisp, and he wanted to speak well. And so a friend of his said, go down to the ocean, put a fistful of pebbles in your mouth, and shout out over those pebbles, over the waves, and over the crashing waves of the ocean, and say whatever you want to say. Just talk over the waves, talk over the waves. He did that for several months. And when he had finished, he went into Rome and became one of the finest orators that the Roman Senate had ever known. Interesting? You see, he applied himself. The appearance was there, the lisp and everything else, but he changed it. He changed it to what he wanted. He didn't know what was really going to happen to him. He just did what his friend advised him to do. Our divine advises us to do things too. Now, medical doctors and scientists and whomever are telling us every single day, get up and walk. Get up and be active. Walk 30 minutes every day, briskly if you can. Play tennis, do anything, but move. Because your body wants you to move to be happy. Now, are you doing that? No. All right? The metaphysicians say to you, if you will say, I like me, 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 pretty soon you'll like yourself. I have that statement. My sister sent me a mirror from New York. She'd seen it in an apartment store and said, I like me on it. And so naturally she sent it to me. And I hung it up on my wall there. I don't need it. I never even noticed it because I'm always saying I like me. But this brings results in our life. This lets the stem cells go to work on the I like me concept rather than I am sick and I'm unhappy and I'm poor. The stem cells want to do the job. This is a gift, if you might say, from our creative cause of ourself. Did you know that you created your body, because you're God? You created your body, and you created your body to live eternally. You created your body to have every organ, action, function perfectly in order at all times. Right? Right, Ryan? Yes. Yes? We were talking about that as we were looking at all these museums today. But, you know, that's another thing. When I went into the museum, I wanted to turn around and run out. I didn't want to be around all of the history of unhappiness. And every time I looked at anything that was a history of unhappiness, I had work to do. I had to say, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. Everybody, you're happy. Everything is in divine order. That's not a bother. Why put myself into that sort of a circumstance where I have to say, all is in divine order? You know? And I was yesterday doing this television show, and we were at this lady's house. What's the name of the lady? Yeah, and a terrific lady, just an artistic creature, great imagination. And she had us on her front porch to do this show. And as we did the show, she had all of her wood carvings around, some of them very sexy wood carvings of busts and bodies and so forth. And one of them was right behind me where I was talking and would be seen by the camera. And so she went to where the camera was to see what it was going to see. And then she says, we can't have that there. And I didn't think a thing. Because when I get going, when I get sharing, you don't see anything around me. Now, if you were new in this church, and I said to you, close your eyes and tell me what this poster says behind me, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. Because you are listening to what we're saying here, and you're dynamically caring about it. And you're dynamically listening to it and being in it. And that is so powerful and so wonderful. But you see, that's where you are. Now, are you ready to really get the most out of this? I am. I am. Because I do this all the time. I was doing it all the time. I was going to give myself a compliment there, but I don't need to give myself compliments. I like to look at the picture of my brain and see that it is a machine, a vehicle, a tool for me to use. My brain is a vehicle, a tool for me to use. And I can do anything I want with it. And what I want to do with my brain is to tell my white stem cells that they should, just open up my brain to the allness of infinite mind. So that the allness of infinite mind is flooding through my brain at all times, and I can be selective. Not somebody's being selective for me. Because we have somebody being selected for us by when we were little children, our parents would say, what do you think, you know it all already? You got to study this. Do it right. You don't know all this stuff. You're not so smart. And when they told us you're not so smart like that, then they were giving us that problem. And I get your point. And it's great. But are you ready to do something about it? Are you ready to obliterate the past and live in the present? Are you ready to not obliterate the past and live in the present? If you obliterate the past, what are you doing? You are giving it attention. You are empowering it. Any negative thought that you have in your mind, you're empowering. Any positive thought you have in your mind, you are empowering it. Now, do you want to give it power? Do you want to give it power? The little boy comes in the house and is wearing a blue streak, and the mother says, well, that's interesting. Where did you find all that information? And the little kid says, well, Jimmy is saying that, and Johnny is saying that. Well, what do you think about it? Well, sure, I don't know. And the mother knew he was saying it for effect. He wanted to get a rise out of her. And she didn't give him a rise. She just said, now, what do those words mean? And then they discussed the words right open, without any anger or any feeling that, oh, this is so terrible. And by the time the mother got done, she says, yeah, if you want to use that kind of words, it's all right. But people will think that you have a very limited vocabulary. They'll think that you can't speak very well. But whatever you want to do, it's your business, You're free to do what you want. And he doesn't want to do it because he hasn't got any, doesn't get a rise out of anybody. And this is what we are doing. We are saying, I'm naughty, I don't like myself, because we want to get a rise out of ourselves. Now, let's say I like me and get a rise out of ourselves in that perfection. Now, here we go again. We have the opportunity to put that cause in motion and have that experience beautifully in our world. I had written up my notes here this afternoon, and I didn't have a way of printing them out, so they're on my screen. And my screen says, every so often I like to take a breather. It shuts itself up, but that's okay. I just press the button and bring it back. I see my brain and its trillions of cells harmoniously flow with my new conception of it. What is my new conception of my brain? My brain is just open and receptive to the universal allness, and nothing is inhibited, nothing is held back. I do as I want with my brain, for it is born new now. And this is very important for all of us, to have our brain born new now. Now, we're going to take a pause, and after the pause, we will come back, and I will share with you the next step here, which is I practiced, and then the final step, which is I am. And the first thing we'll say to ourselves is, I train myself to live now with no past and no future. Are you all still slaves? Were any of your parents slaves? Perhaps. But that's past. Did you know that your father may have been a gardener? Now, are you going to think of yourself, oh, we're just gardeners, you know? No. You're president of the country. You know, you're some fantastic medical doctor or a fantastic professional person. You don't hang on to the limitations of your past. You stay with the truth of who you are now and what it is. Very good. Would you like to... it is planned that I'm to go from 7 to 9:30, right? And at 8, I have been suggested to have you have a slight pause for some refreshments. And are the refreshments out?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is our maitre d', and he is going to provide us with all of the refreshments that make our life happy and joyful.
It says, I practice. Right here.
Isn't that nice?
We have a break. Yes, it's wonderful. And Junette and Anne have wonderful eaties in the kitchen on sale, refreshments. How long should we have? 20 minutes? There we go.
So 20 after 8.
Yes, we get you a bag.
Thank you.